Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights of our service from last Sunday's worship. I'm Russell Cobb, the pastor at the United Church of Christ of California. You're always welcome at our Sunday services. Sunday school is at 9:30 with donuts and juice available in the gym. Worship starts at 10:30 with a nursery for your little ones. We would be so excited and privileged to have you attend our Sunday services as we worship together as one family serving Christ.
Let us sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless God's name. Proclaim God's salvation from day to day.
Declare God's glory among the nations, God's marvelous works among all the peoples.
Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it. Let the field exult, and everything in it. Praise be to God.
Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 249, Standing on the Promises.
Our first scripture lessons this morning are read by Alan Martinson.
Our first lesson this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. Now I would remind you, brethren, in what terms I preached to you the gospel, which you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved, and if you hold it fast, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. This ends the first reading. The second lesson comes from Acts, the second chapter, verses 42 through 47. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and goods and distributed them to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they partook of food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved.
Our gospel reading and his sermon, Our Spiritual Backboard, is by our pastor, Russell Cobb.
Our gospel reading comes from Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This morning we're going to continue our series, First Things First, as we continue to look at things at the first of the year that we feel like we need to focus on, kind of get ourselves ready for the new year that has started, 2019. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2, if you want to hold that. We read those verses just a little bit earlier, so we're going to be looking at those a little bit deeper as we go on here the next few minutes. You know, we all have dashboards on our vehicles that have sensors on it. We drive our van, has had the check engine light on it for weeks now. We've driven, you know, we've taken it in to have it looked at. They say, oh, don't worry about it. You know, it's some type of little thing that we really can't tell what it is, but it's not that all important. And so we've had to get used to this sensor check engine light on our van. And we got to talking after the service out at Salem. I mentioned to Betty, because we drove the van down today, I said, is that sensor still on? And we got in the car and drove, and lo and behold, it's off now. So everything must be fine with the van right now because the check engine light is off. But, you know, you have other sensors that are on there. You have the low tire one. You have the door ajar one, which is frustrating when you can't figure out what door needs to be closed and you don't want to get out in the cold weather and figure it out. That one's kind of a pain that's in there. You have, you know, other different ones. But one that's very important, I just want to give you some encouragement for the future. You may have already figured this one out. The check oil sensor light is a fairly important one to pay attention to, all right? My little Ford Ranger truck kind of lulled me into a sense of calm because anytime that sensor popped on, I knew I had at least two more quarts of oil in there. It uses a lot of oil. I carry about a 5-quart thing of oil in the back of that thing. Just to, when I fill up gas, I fill up the oil to go along with it. So that's just kind of the way that truck is. Well, a few years ago, we were up in Jamestown, and I had to go out and visit Ben Marshall. He had lost his mother. And if you've ever been on Ben's driveway before, it's a little, you have to be aware of it. There's a spot in that driveway that people had told me about that I needed to be concerned about, not to drive too fast over it. And I drove our Chrysler Concord that day, and it's a car. I bought it from my mom and dad. It sits real low to the ground. And got up there, thought I'd gone through all the rough spots, but there's one last little bump that I wasn't really paying attention to, and I bottomed out that thing right, and boom, I hit it real hard. Drove into their driveway, and we visited for about an hour, got back in. We had a little family, they had a family night at Jamestown, drove to that. It's not too far from Ben's house. No worries whatsoever. Got out the car at 8:30 that night, and the check engine light, doggone it, comes on that thing. And the Chrysler Concord at 8:30 in Jamestown on a Sunday night. There's not a lot of things open in Jamestown at 8:30 on Sunday night. And so I was thinking in my head, going, what in the world am I going to do? But I thought, well, it's just like my truck. I must have a little bit more oil left in this thing. I'll make it to Boonville, and I'll buy some oil there at the gas station. And we got to driving out of town, and I started wondering to myself, oh, I wonder if that little bump that I did at Ben's may have been a little bit bigger bump than what I thought. And I thought, well, you know, we might as well just coast into Ted and Sarah's little driveway there, and we'll just talk to them and see if they've got some oil. About that time, those thoughts had just gone through my head, and all of a sudden I hear this kind of a loud bang, and my car seized up, and we coasted into Ted and Sarah's driveway right there. We walk down their long lane at 8:45 at night, knock on their door, and they come out and said, you know, Ted, I need some oil. And so he drives up there, Ted's pouring oil in at the top, I'm laying down on the bottom, looking to check, and as soon as he pours that oil in, it's running out the bottom of it. I'd punched a hole in my oil pan, and I'd seized up my engine. But lo and behold, Steve Early worked on for 2 or 3 weeks, got all the cylinders except one, I think, really firing right for about 1.5 years. It kind of vibrated if you sat still. I told the girls that, you know, that's the car they drove to school, so I just said, you know, it's just something to, it's a vibrating chair. Just think of it that way. It's just a vibrating chair. It lasted about 1.5 years before it finally bit the dust. But, you know, you have sensors you need to pay attention to. When we look in Acts chapter 2 this morning, we're going to see a spiritual dashboard. Sensors there that we need to pay attention to individually and also pay attention to as a church. And the first one we see there in verse 42, it says that the apostles devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In verse 42 there, it says that they devoted themselves. That means that they continued steadfastly. That means they persisted in listening to it. They wanted to learn more. They wanted to learn everything that they could. They were hungry to know more about God's word and more about the scripture. They were reading his words. They were getting daily consumption of it. But what were they consuming? What consisted of the apostles' teaching? We see from the earliest messages, we learned about this in Sunday school class, in Morris and Dolores and in Kathy Gant's class, that the earliest messages were from Peter when he spoke about Jesus. He talked about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. He said in Acts chapter 4, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no one other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. And we just read it just a few minutes ago in 1 Corinthians 15, that of first importance to the early church was the three things, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Not only the resurrection, but his appearance to his disciples. And this was the foundation that they built upon. Can you imagine how many times they told that story to these people that had come to the day of Pentecost? Remember, the day of Pentecost, it was Jews from all around the country, all around the world, were coming to Jerusalem for this special feast. And they were hearing first-hand accounts of the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Can you imagine what their story consisted of? I can see it now. See, you don't get it. I saw him die on the cross. He was dead. Not mostly dead. That's my Princess Bride reference for the day. But he said he was dead. And I was devastated. It is like my favorite team had lost their most important game. But then we started hearing that he was alive again. Rumors started spreading through the city that he was alive. And then I actually saw him. You wouldn't believe it, the joy that was in my heart. How do you think this affected their teaching to those first disciples that came on the day of Pentecost? They taught about Jesus. The reason we meet this morning is because of Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his command to go into all the world. But upon that foundation, as the church grew and progressed and got older, they had to build upon that. And we see Paul and Peter talk about the things that we need to concentrate on with the apostles' teaching. We see in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God, about putting on the belt of truth and the helmet of salvation. And then Peter talks about in 2 Peter, the same as kind of the fruit of the Spirit. He says that you need to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. He says all these things, if you have them in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you may have heard on the radio, on Christian radio, there's a gentleman named Greg Laurie. He gives little devotions on Christian radio stations. He's a pastor of a church out in California, about 15,000 members. And he spoke of this one time on one of his devotions. He says, this is what he said once about a study done by the Center for Bible Engagement. This is what they discovered about reading your Bible on a regular basis. If you're not reading your Bible or engaging with the Bible, maybe listening on the radio or listening on tapes or reading your devotions or going to Sunday school or some type of a group that studies the Bible four or more times a week, you will make no significant choices or changes different than someone who does not read the Bible at all. But if you read your Bible four or more times each week, this is how it will affect your life. You'll have a 61% less propensity to view pornography, 57% less propensity for substance abuse, 74% less propensity for gambling, and in fact, a 20% less propensity for obesity. So if you're working on a diet plan, include regular Bible reading, and it'll help you with your diet plans on a regular basis. Jesus told his disciples, continue in my word. If you hold to my teaching, you'll really be my disciples. See, our spiritual lives will look like our pastures this past summer if we don't get regular nourishment and moisture from reading our Bibles. It has to be a regular involvement that we expose ourselves to the moisture, the consistent effect that it takes on our lives. If we don't, our spiritual life starts to look like that corn rolled up after it's not rained for 3 weeks, or look like the grass in my yard this past summer when it didn't rain for 3 weeks, all brown, crusty, and dry. But the second sensor that we see on the spiritual dashboard there in Acts chapter 2, we see is the fellowship. It says they devoted themselves. It's a Greek word meaning koinonia. It means a partnership, a togetherness, having common interest. Where you saw one of them, you saw more of them. They enjoyed being together. We saw it in verse 44. All believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Wherever they could meet, they got together to enjoy and to encourage and lift each other up. Remember, all 3,000 of them had joined the church at the same time on the day of Pentecost. There was a common excitement there. And they were excited to be around each other, much like we are to be excited around each other on Sundays. But ever since I've been in the church or been exposed to going to church, I've always heard different people tell me, you know, I don't need to go to church. I can worship wherever I'm at. I can worship on the creek bank. I can worship in the woods. And it's important for us to have individual times of worship. Don't get me wrong on that point. But it's important that we meet regularly together as a church body. Hebrews talks about it this way, saying it's the time for us to spur one another on toward good deeds and to encourage each other as we see the day approaching with hard times. This past week, I was watching on TV the Planet Earth channel, and they're Planet Earth 2 now. And I think they were in Africa or Asia or somewhere, and I think it was wildebeest. And there was a baby wildebeest, a baby calf wildebeest out there, and these wolves were attacking this baby calf wildebeest. And it was an amazing thing. As those wolves started to attack this little baby calf, the herd, which was not too far off, ran to its rescue and then ran in circles, keeping the baby calf in the middle. And here's these wolves dancing around, trying to, you know, find an opening to get to that calf in there. But they couldn't break the barrier of the herd of the wildebeest, and they kept their baby calf safe. That reminded me how the church is. Peter talks about it in 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, Satan is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. When we separate ourselves from the herd and push ourselves outside, we get too far away from the herd, we make ourselves easy pickings for Satan's temptations and his discouragements. We're all going to be targets of Satan and his temptations and his flaming arrows. But when we're close to the herd, they can rally around us and protect us. But we have all types of different times that we can get together and enjoy each other's fellowship. We have our Wednesday night fellowship, Sunday school, choir practice, women's guild, men's brotherhoods, the prayer cell. Those are times for us to strengthen and deepen our relationships with one another. You know, soon we'll be thinking about summer. It's hard to think about when it's 15 degrees outside. But soon we'll be making our plans for summer vacation and all the activities that take up our summer. But my encouragement for all of you this summer is when you're making your travel plans for different activities and they take you away from church, that's part of summer, I would encourage you to Google churches in that area that you're going to and find interesting places of worship to go to. Maybe even take a family picture of where you're at and post it on our Facebook page to encourage people that where you're at, you're enjoying worship with another group and another family of believers. You know, some of our most memorable worship experiences have been on vacation. We've had church on the beach in Florida, in Navarre Beach, Florida. There's a congregation that meets right on the beach. They put up a little tent. They have a sound system. The guy's in an Hawaiian shirt and shorts. And it was a pretty enjoyable experience for us. On the way on one vacation, we stopped with a friend whose church was meeting in a school. We helped him set up and had church with them. And then this past summer, we got to enjoy fellowship with another group of believers inside of Yellowstone Park. You know, make fellowship and worship a family priority. That's where the herd comes and protects us, encourages us, lifts us up when we're down. But regular fellowship with fellow Christians gives us the encouragement we need to stay faithful. What's the next symbol on our spiritual dashboard? We see there that it's the breaking of bread. They celebrated communion on a regular basis. They celebrated it so they could remember the sacrifice of Jesus. And we get used to those terms. We get used to those words. We hear that term all the time. But in the Jewish mind, just as we learned in Sunday school class today, that most of Jesus' earlier followers were Jewish. And they knew that sacrifice for sins was prominent in their mind. They knew what the price was. They knew what the cost was for sins. It could be a bull, it could be a goat, it could be a lamb, it could be some turtle doves or some pigeons or some other type of grain, but they knew that it cost something for their sins to be rolled back. If they couldn't afford a bull, they might get two pigeons because they were not very wealthy, but they had to realize something had to die for their sin. And in many cases, they would actually put their hand on the animal before it was killed. They knew something innocent was dying on their behalf. It was a messy business, but they were very involved in the payment of sin. So the reason that they met and celebrated the breaking of the bread so often, it reminded them of the sacrifice that Christ had made for them. That he had shed their own blood. They did not have to put their hand upon him, that he did it because he loved them and he loves us. Hebrews chapter 9 said it this way. He did not enter by the means of blood and goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, thus obtaining eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they were outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death? Paul writes in Colossians that this sacrifice made us alive in Christ, that we were dead in our sins, that then he nailed it to the cross so that we could be alive again. Paul knew what it was like to be separated from God. In fact, he calls himself the worst of all sinners. And he gives us this trustworthy statement. He says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. These disciples knew that they had been separated, and the only thing that brought them close to God in a relationship was the blood of Jesus that they had seen shed on the cross. So partaking in communion reinforces to us the cost for the forgiveness of sins. And the final sensor on our spiritual dashboard is prayer. Individual and group prayer was a staple of the early church. Chapter 1 of Acts, it says they joined constantly in prayer along with the women. Acts chapter 3, it says that they went up three different times each day to the temple for the Jewish hours of prayer. Jesus taught us, gave us a model of the prayer, and we pray that in our Lord's Prayer that we recite every Sunday. In fact, though, we bring these prayers into the presence of God. When you read Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, it says this about our prayers. It says, when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Your prayers go into the presence of God, and they are a sweet aroma to him. He hears every one of our prayers. He doesn't answer them the way that we want him to, or the way that we beg him to, but he hears them, and he knows our hearts. See, we must have regular thought-out communication with our Creator. It was the power of the church then, and it's the power of the church now. It's the foundation of the church. Look what Paul writes in different verses. Every one of his letters to every one of the churches, he emphasized the importance of prayer. Be faithful in prayer. Pray without ceasing. Ephesians, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Colossians, devote yourselves to prayer. Philippians, pray about everything. He tells us there that no matter where we're at, that we are to have a constant communication line open to God. When you're going to work, pray about the day. Maybe turn the radio down and put your thoughts in order. Pray and ask him to bless you as you go to work or bless your family. Pray over your meals. Pray with your children and for your children. You know, all know this, that have had teenagers and started driving. Your prayer life increases exponentially once you hand that first kid the keys to a car with a driver's permit, doesn't it? At one time, we had three teenage daughters. Two of them were driving. We were praying constantly for our kids, all right? But that's the kind of prayer life that we are to have. Peter tells us to cast all our anxiety on him because he cares for us. We see that the early church prayed when they got into trouble. Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were told not to preach Jesus anymore, it says they all got together, and after they prayed, the place shook after they prayed. Are you ready to make California and Montauk County shake because of our prayers? If you want to see more people in here doing great things, meeting the needs of the community, people coming and praising God, we've got to start praying for it as a collective body and individually. But if our prayer lives are weak, the foundation of our spiritual lives are weak. You know, if the foundation of your house goes bad, there's walls in the wall, cracks in the walls that start. Your doors and windows don't close like they once did. Water may get even into your crawl space. But he tells us right there that the spiritual foundation of our lives will be weak if we are not regularly communicating with God. Are any spiritual sensors flashing on your dashboard? Do they go off for a while and then they pop back on after a time because something else comes up and diverts our attention? You know, oil needs changing. Gas needs to be replenished. Tires need to be changed. Are aired up or rotated. Spark plugs need to be changed. Those warning symbols that pop up on our car are the same ones that pop up in our spiritual life to let us know something's not quite right. Maybe it's a sound. Maybe it's a vibration. You know, we had a van that every time I felt a little vibration in the transmission, it was letting me know something was not good and I needed to get it in immediately. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 gives us individually a dashboard. And as a church, are we concentrating on the right things? And do they need our attention? Maybe it's something nagging at you. Maybe it's a habit you need to change. Maybe you don't feel as close to God right now. You've had a tragedy or some discouragement coming and you don't feel as present. And maybe your spiritual fluid levels are not where they need to be. It tells us right there that regular scripture reading, regular time in worship with other believers getting encouragement, the Lord's Supper, regularly communicating with God through prayer, those are the spiritual sensors, the spiritual fluid levels that we need to pay attention to. Maybe you've never connected to God through Christ. Maybe you've never hooked up to His spiritual battery through the Holy Spirit. To do that, you must first believe in Jesus, repent of your lifestyle, confess Jesus as Lord, and follow Jesus' example, and you'll become a brand new creation. Your old life is gone, and God has made you alive. Maybe you've been considering making a decision for the Lord or even joining the church. You can see me or fill out a card, drop it off to myself or one of the ushers, and we'll make sure it gets to us, and we'll work with you, and we'll pray with you. I pray that you're checking your spiritual dashboards on a regular basis to know where the things that we need to pay attention to. Our hymn this morning is hymn number 413, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Father, you tell us to pray without ceasing. You tell us to bring all types of prayers and concerns in front of you. And we see, Father, from your scripture and revelation, Father, that we're bringing our prayers right into your presence. And that they're being handed to you as bowls of incense of a sweet aroma coming up before you from the 24 elders that surround the throne. I pray, Father, when we pray that we recognize that we are bringing those to you. And we know that you hear them. They may not be answered the way that we want. Things may happen the way that we don't want them to, Father, but we have faith that you're with us every step of the way. I pray, Father, for your blessing upon the ones listed on our prayer list. I pray for the ones, Father, that are in their service right now for our country. Just be with them as they're far away from their loved ones. Thank you for their service. Thank you for their families. Thank you for this church here that puts prayer as a priority as a group meets every week to pray for those types of concerns. But, Father, I also pray that we not only pray for healing, that we pray for opportunity to reach people that have not heard the message of love and hope, Father, to bring people that are separated, Father, and make them alive with Christ. As we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen. As our bell choir completes our program this morning with Lord, I Want to Be a Christian, just want to remind you again that you're most welcome at Sunday school and church this morning and every Sunday morning at 9:30 and 10:30. God bless your Sunday.